All right. Okay, Kevin, I apologize again for the schedule change. You got the you posted?
Yeah.
It's on, we're over here.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. There's no one over there? Is there anyone by the regular Shira? No.
I think there's people in there.
Not us?
No.
No, okay. All right, so we left off yesterday. The Gemara that told us that if a person is shechting on Shabbos for a challah, then it's permitted for a bari to eat it. If a person is cooking on Shabbos for a challah, it's prohibited for a bari to eat it. So we asked, what's the difference between the two? The Gemara explains. Because by shechita, when it comes to cooking, though, you might add, I know that there are other people eating from it, I might add to the pot of food that I'm cooking. So gzera shema yara bishvilo. So therefore, we don't allow the bird to eat from the pot at all because lest someone come to add to the pot for his sake. However, the animal, you have to shech the big animal anyway in order to get a kezayis basa. So then, there isn't a fear, the same kind of fear, that if we allow the bird to eat it, that someone might shech the bigger animal on his behalf. But what would be the case if you did shecht a bigger animal? Would that be a greater malacha of shechita? And it seems the Minchas Chinuch raises this point when in discussing the Ran. When the Ran over here tells us, let's say you would add more to the pot, would that be an Issa d'Oraisa or an Issa d'Rabbanan? So the Rashba said, even if you would add more to the pot, that would only be an Issa d'Rabbanan. We'll get maybe as a proof to his position. The Ran felt if you add more to the pot, it's in fact a malacha mid'Oraisa. Here, let's just see the Rashba over here, or his base. This is Rashban Ardaf. Hamavashu v'chayu v'shabbos os labari gzera shema yarav b'shvilo. Perish Rabbeinu Harav. Gzera shema achar sheyaniach hakedera v'ha'esh yarav sham chaticha b'shvilo. What is the fear? That while the pot is sitting on the fire, I say, the bari here is hungry too. He said, some extra ingredients in for some more chicken soup. If you'll do this, you'll violate an Issur Skila because you're really doing a separate, distinct Ma'aseh Bishul by adding more to the pot. Don't say, we're discussing a case where I might put up a bigger pot in the first place. If you would put up a bigger pot instead of a smaller pot, that would only be, that's awesome. You're not supposed to do that. It's different than shechting, in the shechita. But it's only Issur Midrabbanan, because at the end of the day, right, when you light the fire underneath the pot, what you did was permitted. So there's more food in the pot, less food in the pot, what difference does it make? But if I already put up the pot, and then I add more to the pot, that's a second action of Bishul, right? I had one when I first put up the pot, and then, initially, and then a second one when I added more to the pot. That's a second Ma'aseh Bishul. The Rashba holds that's an Issur D'Oraisa. But if I would just put up a bigger pot in the first place, instead of a smaller pot, that would only be doing it in greater quantity, but it's the same action. That would only be us midrabbanan. V'alkein isan leferusha kai gam neshemi yitem mekedera achra shehi al ha'esh. Therefore, says the Rashba, we must be talking about a case right here. We're making gzera. We're not going to allow the bari to eat it lest you do something. The less you do something, better be an Issur D'Oraisa. Because if the less you do something is only an Issur midrabbanan, then what do we call that? A gzera, lest you do something, but that thing that we're afraid of is only an Issur D'Oraisa, that would be a gzera l'gzera. We wouldn't typically do that. We don't have a gzera to prevent or to protect an Issur D'Rabbanan. Gzera to protect an Issur D'Oraisa, we're accustomed to, but not to protect an Issur D'Rabbanan. So the Rashba therefore says, if we're making a gzera lest we come to cook more on behalf of the bari, must be we're discussing a case now where I put up a bigger pot in the first place. It's the same action either way. We're talking about just in greater quantity. That's an Issur D'Rabbanan, not an Issur D'Oraisa. We're afraid while the pot is on the fire, you're going to add more to the pot, which will be an Issur D'Oraisa. However, we hear the difference? Okay. I'm going to put an extra piece in on top of the pieces that are in there. To put it there initially, that would be permitted. That would be permitted midoraisa, he means, not midorabanan. It would be permitted midoraisa to put up a bigger pot, since either way you have to turn it on for the chayla, so we wouldn't make a gzera that the bari can't have the leftovers of the chayla, lest you come to add more in his behalf. We wouldn't make a gzera against the leftovers. To protect the nisim midorabanan, only to protect the nisim midoraisa. So b'shem Rabbeinu Yitzchak, though, he quotes here in the name of Rabbeinu Yitzchak. That was the opinion of the Ran that we saw yesterday. B'Shabbos, lo hitira laharbosh b'shvil habari, af al pi shemavashu l'chayla mishum chumr d'Shabbos. That even if you put it up in the same pot, it's an Issur Midoraisa. Even though I put it up initially, I didn't add anything in the middle. So if we allow you to have the leftovers of the chayla, we're afraid next time you're going to put up a bigger pot the first time. And if you cook in greater quantity, even though you're allowed to cook, but you cook in greater quantity more than you have to, that is inisa midoraisa. And what was the proof of the Ran from the Gemara Maseches Menachos? What did the Gemara say, Maseches Menachos? You have two branches, one that has three grugros, one that has three figs, the other has two figs. How many do I need for the chola? I don't know why, but you need a chola who needs, right? I don't know why a chola would need figs, but he needs two figs and not three. So which branch should I rip off? Rip off the branch with two figs and not the branch with three figs. It'll be a greater malacha to rip it off with three figs. So says the Ran. You see from here that if you do a malacha in greater quantity than is necessary, you violate an isa d'oraisa. Okay? So that's the fear over here. So said the Minchas Chinuch, according to the Ran yesterday, that if you have an opportunity then to shecht an animal that's smaller, let's say a chayla needs meat, and I have over here a little, I have over here a little chicken capon. So I could shecht a little chicken capon, or a pheasant, a little thing over there, or I could shecht mamish, a turkey, a royalist cabbage. So what should I shecht? The little capon, or should I shecht the big turkey? So, well, everyone could enjoy the turkey if I shecht the big turkey. And we said by Shechita, everyone is allowed to have more. So says the Minchas Chinuch, what should I do? So the Minchas Chinuch says, well, you should shecht a smaller animal. If doing a malacha in greater quantity is a greater malacha, then you should shecht a smaller animal. But 1 minute, if that's the case, so then why aren't we afraid, just like we were afraid by Bishol, right? Just like we were afraid by Bishol. Not that you're going to add to the pot in the interim if we allow the bari to have the leftovers of the chayla. We're afraid you're going to do it in greater quantity the first time. So how do we allow the bari to eat the leftover meat that we made for the chayla from the animal? Let's be afraid that since he knows he can, other people can eat the leftovers, he'll take a bigger animal than is required. Yeah?
How is shechting a bigger animal or a smaller animal more malacha?
Well, how is cooking a bigger pot of food versus a smaller pot of food more malacha? How is ripping off a branch with three figs a greater malacha than ripping off a branch with two figs?
You're cooking more. Like, if that's it, I was cooking one or I was cooking two.
Say it good. Yeah, say what?
By shechting, you're just cutting it.
Isn't it one turning on of the flame underneath the pot? Isn't it one ripping off the branch, even though it has three figs? How about the figs?
I could have taken out the food, and I would have been over less bishul. But
who said? Why? What about? Isn't the bishul turning on the flame underneath the pot, or putting the pot on the flame? Turning on the flame would be havara, but let's say putting it on the flame. Isn't that the malacha? Just playing devil's advocate over here. You're dancing around the right answer, but you have to have the language to explain it. Yeah.
Be like a bigger neck, and like which will mean like more action for the shechita. Kind of like with the flame, where it's like doing with the bigger pot, it's doing more malacha.
So you answer your question yourself. Yeah, well, what's the malacha by shechita? Cutting through the flesh or killing the animal?
Cutting through the flesh.
No.
Killing the animal.
Killing the animal is the malacha. Cutting through flesh is malacha of dush, extracting liquid from a solid, blood. Or weakening the animal, so it's close to killing the animal. But the real malacha is killing the animal. So you kill a big animal, small animal, it's all killing, it's all murder.
So why does he say to pick the small one? Why does the Bible say that?
That's what he says according to the Ran. But if we're going to say that according to the Ran, to take the small animal over the bigger one, I have a kash on him. Because now the Gemara doesn't make any sense, right? According to the Chassina, the Gemara's distinction has no rational explanation for it. What did the Gemara distinguish? Whoa, a big animal! So let everyone have the leftovers. We're not afraid you're going to violate more next time. Whereas it's a pot, well, if we're going to allow them to have the leftovers, maybe I'll put up a bigger pot next time because I know the entire mishpucha will enjoy the food that I cook for the bari. So what's the difference? Maybe next time I'll shecht a bigger animal because I know that people are eating the leftovers. So look over here. It's like you're dancing around the proper distinction, but we have to phrase it properly. So look over here. It says the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank discusses in the Har Tzvi the following shayla. Chayla needs a candle on Shabbos. He needs light. The days before electric lights, maybe. So he needs a candle. But we only need it. Let's say we're performing a surgical procedure on the chayla on Shabbos. We need light. But the surgical procedure will last for 2 hours, not 24. Can we light, find a candle that only has 2 hours of wax, or can we light a candle that will burn for 24 hours? Yeah? Either way, we have to light a candle. Should we light a candle that only burns for 24 hours? Should we light a candle that's going to, that only is going to burn for 2 hours? Can we light a candle that's going to burn for longer? Same shiloh, doing a malacha in greater quantity. So, nishalti v'luvdu, da'afi b'chayla sheyesh b'sakana. Shaitzarech l'ner b'leil Shabbos. He needed a candle on Friday night. V'haylo fun of shtei neir shal nefet. There were two, what's, anyone know what nefet is? Oil. Yeah, it's like a gas. Shtei neiro shel nefet. Ba'achas hay nefet kashir shechayot tzarech. One had the amount of gas. That's not in Israel now. It's gaz, right? Yeah, they stop on the side of the word gaz, but this is the proper word. So hay nefet kashir shechayot tzarech vashniya haysim alei nefet. The other one was full of gas. But the chayil doesn't need it. Mutilo lahadik eshashniya. Can you light the one with greater quantity? Either way, you're only lighting, lighting it once, and then it continues to burn. What difference does it make? If you have two branches, one that has three figs, one that has two figs, which branch do you cut off? The one with two figs, and I'm allowed to do the one with greater quantity. So should we say the same thing over here? So look at the fifth line. He says, "Imkain kan nami tzarich lemaat b'melachas halakul lahalik oitzer sheyesh b'nefek kafi tzarich hachayu v'lo yoser." You have to light the one that only has the 2 hours of fuel, not the one that has the all day fuel. Kain zeh katzav minchas chinuch. That's what the minchas chinuch said in commenting on the run, that if you have two animals before you that you can shecht, should you shecht the smaller one or should you can even shecht the bigger one? Shecht the kapon, only the smaller one. According to the Ran, they're cooking more in the same pot as in Isma Daraisa. Even though you're allowed to cook or shech before the Chayilim came, you have a small little gotolo, right? What are you shechting such a behema gasa for? A buffalo? You have to shech the smaller animal. V'chein ra'isi lahagayvid de Baghdad. V'sifro rav pa'olim. That is the... Anyone know who that is? We call him usually by something else. The Tshuva of the Rav Polim. You're Sephardi, you got to know this. Come on. Who's the Rav Polim? That is the Ben Ish Chai. None other than the Ben Ish Chai. B'sifra Rav Polim. If that doesn't help you, then we have a problem. Right? But okay, but he's the Ben Ish Chai. Shenisho Gamkin, it was really the big Sephardi Shigalo before Rav Avadia. We just, somehow the world, all of Sephardi history rewrote itself after Rav Avadia. But there were people before him. And that was the Ben Ish Chai. Shenisho Gamkin B'chayla Sheyesh B'Shakana. He was asked by the same thing. He needs chicken, and there's a small bird here. Can you shech the bigger one? And he says no. He says no. You have to shech the small one. But look over here. Says Otzi Pesach Frank. Not so. Come on. If that's the case, he doesn't even ask this. But if this is the case, I don't have an explanation for Agamah. Why should we distinguish then between shechita, which we permit the healthy people to have the leftovers, versus cooking where we don't? We should be afraid next time you're going to shech the bigger animal. So we have to distinguish. So he says over here, Anias Daiti Ayanira, right in the middle of the paragraph, towards the end of the line, is Lamed Ayan Rashi Tevis Dawud. So Lamed Ayan Dawud. Anias Daiti Ayanira Lachalik Bedavar. No, we have to distinguish. Rahayinu Mishum, the Bekitzira Etzem HaMalacha Kishma Kein Hu. What is the Malacha of Kitzira? Shehu Kaitzer Umafrit Pi Mimokam Gidulo. We have to distinguish between different Malachas, have different definitions. The Malacha of Kaitzer is detaching stuff from the ground. V'chein Kishar Kaitzer V'toilish Oichetz Echad Im Shtei Grogers. When you detach a branch that has two figs, man mapis loymer da katsira hi begrogas achas v'lo b'shnia halo be'emes shtei grogas nixiru. How much is the volume of your katsira? How much malacha did you do? Is measured by how much became detached. So if you detach three figs, that is greater malacha than detaching two figs. V'yavagav sheshneim nixiru pula achas. Even though it was all done in one action, the malacha is not cutting. The malacha is detaching. So if you detach three, that's more than detaching two. You're doing more and in greater quantity, and the Ran holds that's malacha deraisa. Masha ein kein. As opposed to b'sheichet oif gadol, the definition of shechita is not cutting or is not detaching. What is the definition of shechita? Killing. What difference does it make if you kill a big animal or small animal? It's the same malacha. Masha enkein b'shoichid oif godo b'mokam shiyesh lefanav oif katan mahi malacha netilas neshama. What's the malacha? Killing. B'netilas neshama leka shiur mali godo mali katan. What difference does it make? Killing is killing. Haneshama achazi. The neshama is the same. If you're bigger, you don't have a bigger neshama than if you're smaller. V'enkan riboy be'etzim ha-malacha v'riboy basa shal nishchad zeh eno mashpia al-etzim ha-malacha. How much meat was produced by killing this animal has nothing to do with the definition of the malacha. V'enhevdu b'malacha im ha-nisha yesh basa harbe o ma'at. He is not the first one to say this distinction. That is already the Or Sameach makes Mamish a doctoral thesis about this issue. He goes through every malacha. We have to define it. Is it defined by how much malacha is produced or by that which you did? Right? If it's the action that you did, like killing, doesn't make a difference how much, you know, how big the animal was. If it's cooking food, maybe is it how much food got cooked, not, you know, putting a pot on top of the fire. The malacha of bishul is not putting a pot on top of the fire. Malacha of bishul is cooking food, so it depends how much food you cooked. Malacha of ketira is detaching food from the ground, detaching things from the ground. Well, then it matters how much you detach. We could go through every malacha and try and figure out, is the malacha defined by the product that you produced or by the action that you did? And that's what exactly what the Or Sameach does, and he goes through all of the Rama test malachas, trying to figure out how we define them. But what will the difference be with regards to doing it in greater quantity? Because if the malacha is defined by that which you produced, well, if you did it in greater quantity, it's a greater amount of malacha. If it's defined by the action that you did, well, then it doesn't matter how much you produce. It only matters based on the action that you did. Okay, so you already found this distinction, Or Sameach, and that will explain the distinction, the Gemara, between Bishol and Shechita. Bishol is defined by how much food you cooked. So if you cook more for the Bari, you will violate a greater Malacha. But if Shechita is defined by the action that you did, it doesn't matter, big animal, small animal, and therefore most disagree with that Minchas Chinuch. Once you can shecht on Shabbos, you can shecht as big an animal as you like. You want to shecht a giraffe, which is a kosher animal. You want to shecht a buffalo, which is an endangered species, but whatever. You know, so if you want to shecht, you know, as a kosher animal, even as big as you want, that still will not be a greater malacha. Yeah?
Why did we say yesterday, if I remember correctly, that we said if we have three figs on one branch,
yeah,
or one, or two branch, one fig each,
yeah,
and we only need two, so we're going to do three figs because...
Excellent, Kasha. So you're saying if it depends on the volume of that which I detached, so then two cuttings should even be better than one branch with three figs, because I'm detaching more than... That's an excellent kasha on the Gemara and Masechtas Menachos. You're 100% right. That would be another area we have to explore, according to this. That would be... The Gemara Menachos needs some explanation. That part of that line in the Gemara. Unless we'll say that in the end of the day, two actions of detaching is greater than one malacha. Meaning, and this is what the Ran says. I'll ask you like this. Are two small averas better than one big avera, or is one big avera worse? You know, which is worse? Two small averas, or one big avera and two small averas? Well, we have to. So what's worse over here? I cut off one branch with one fig. That's a small avera, you know, relatively speaking. I cut off another branch with another fig. That's two now small averas. Versus cutting off one branch with three figs, that's a big avera. So which is worse? Do we say many small averas, like, you know, you could die by paper cuts, death by paper cuts is worse than just being, being stabbed? Or is being stabbed worse than, you know, death by paper cut, right? So that's, I'm not comparing Chas V'Shalom, no Malacha and Shabbos is a paper cut, but that's the question. The question is, so the Ran derives from here that many small averas is worse than one big avera. Yeah? Yeah.
If you're cutting, in the fig case, if you're cutting two figs off a branch versus cutting the branch, which also contains two figs, what do you think that the bigger one would be worse? Because you're cutting the branch, which is one thing, but with the branch comes the two figs anyway.
Right, so that's a big avera.
Yeah.
But over here, with cutting two individual branches, each with one fig, I'm doing two small averas. So like one big avera... Yeah, the Gemara's first comparison is between one branch with one fig, or one branch with three figs. And all you need is two. So the Gemara says, should I cut off two branches, each with one fig, or should I cut off the one branch with three figs? And the Gemara says, cut off the one branch with three figs. That's preferable. Even though all you need is two. So the Ran derived from there. Well, let's say I have one branch with two figs, one branch with three figs. You should certainly cut off the one with two figs. That's a lesser malacha. And therefore, he derives, if you do malacha in less quantity, it's better. But Zach says a different question. Why, if we're going to define the malacha by quantity, so then isn't it preferable to cut off two individual branches, each with one fig, you know each? Better than one branch with three figs, right? So you're right, but over here is more actions versus, you know, greater malacha. So our two small averas, that's what the Ran says, two small averas are worse than one big avera. So that's why the Gemara says better to cut off the one branch with three figs than the two individual branches with one fig each. Yeshayahu comes up. Our small averas worse than one big avera, or is one big avera worse than many many small averas? Suffice it to say, it comes up. Where does it come up? It comes up in the following situation. If you have you have this chayr over here who needs meat, what else could you do? You could feed him treif meat. Well, what are we so? The guy's so religious. He needs a proper shkita. Go to the AMP. Give him treif meat. Either way, we're violating Shabbos, right? We're violating something. Why violate Shabbos? We give him treif meat. So should you give him treif meat? Or are we only discussing a situation where there's no meat? You hear? Why are we shechting on Shabbos for this guy? Let's just give him treif meat. So you know what you could say? This is discussion that we showed him. Should we give him treif meat? Or are we only discussing a situation where there's no meat available? Yeah, should we, again, shecht for this chayil? This chayil is a chesed shemensh. He needs meat on Shabbos. So he won't say, So should we shecht on Shabbos for him? Or should we just say, look, Rabid, you're violating something in the Torah. Just eat the nevegel meat. It's here in the hospital already. What would you say? What do you get for shechit on Shabbos? What's the punishment? Skila. What's the punishment for eating treif meat? Malkus. Which is worse? Shabbos worse. It's better, right? Shechit on nevegel meat. Some Rishonim say like that. Give him the nevegel meat. But you know what you could say? No, 1 minute. How many averis do you have when you shecht? One. How many averis do you have every time you eat an nevegel meat?
Every bite.
So which is worse? Every bite of nevegel meat is many, many small averis. Or should we shecht on Shabbos and just bite the bullet and do the bigger avera? So that's a debate within the Rishonim and Sefer Yuma. What should we do? Should we give him treif meat or should we shecht meat for him on Shabbos? Big discussion. Same issue. Same issue. Rabbi Yosef Engel actually has a whole essay about this. Which is worse? One big avera or many small averas? And he brings all these sources back and forth. Oh, okay. Where else do you see this, though? Look over here. The Rashba has a proof. Look over here. Three lines from the bottom of the Rashba. Vim Tomar. V'ha aminim be'erben. How can you say doing a malach in greater quantity is a malach midaraisa, like the Ran would convince us, right? The Rashba said it's only nisim midarabanan. What's the fear over here? You're going to add more to the pot. You're going to do more actions, not just in greater quantity. But he has a proof to him. Vim Tomar. V'ha aminim be'erben. Ha'hu yanuka d'shtabe chamimei. You have a baby that used to wash in hot water. We were discussing this morning. Hot water before the bris, hot water after the bris. As an antiseptic, we don't do this anymore because we have better antiseptics. So also kamei de rava. Amalahu nishai. So what happened? The water spilled, though. So now we need to heat up water for the bris. Or probably we're talking about after the bris. So the bris already was done. Now it's pikuach nefesh. We need to heat up water for the baby. Or maybe we're talking about before the bris. Okay. Nishai la leime. 1 minute, the mother here is a chayla. Why is the mother a chayla? Because she just gave birth 8 days ago. It could be Michal Shabbos on her behalf. So if you need the hot water, heat it up. Agav the mother, meaning you're heating a mother for the heating a water for the mother because she needs hot water for tea or whatever she needs hot water for. So heat up more. Heat up more. How can you heat up more? Chaver, you're doing a malacha in greater quantity. Isn't that greater malacha? Agav ime. Alma feel b'shabes lirbos b'shiyur eshari. Don't you see from here that riba b'shiyur is certainly not a malacha midaraisa? Because the Gemara said, let's just heat it up. Agav the mother, and it sounds like, whoa, then there's nothing to worry about. Why not? Aren't you doing a malacha in greater quantity? So says the Rashba. Really, that's not a great proof to me that riba b'shiyur is not a malacha midaraisa. Yishlamer nichmulei al yedei nachri kamar. Meant to say, we're going to ask the nachri to heat up water. When you're asking a nachri, the fact that it's done in greater quantity doesn't disturb me. Ooh. Wow. So meaning we cleared a chakira by all the malachas. Is it depend on the action? Does it depend on the product of malacha? What do you see when it comes to amiro and nachri? Does it depend on the quantity of that which the nachri did for you, or on just asking the nachri to do it in the first place? It sounds like it depends on asking the nachri to do it in the first place. And once you ask the nachri to do it, it doesn't matter how much he's doing. So if the nachri was doing it anyway for a chayla, to ask him to do more is no more malacha than it was before. And in fact, that's what Taisa says in Gittin. I'll get to your point in 1 second. Benji, look over here, the last two lines of Taisa's. Taisa quotes this issue. They said heat up water, agav the mother. How can you heat up water out of the mother in the greater malacha? Don't you see from our Gemara, says Tarsus? He is cooking more than is necessary. Is Riva Bishurim is a malacha midarais, so that's why we don't let the people have the leftovers of malacha, unless we come to cook more on their behalf. It's a malacha midarais of doing malacha in greater quantity. Says Tosfos, about Ayude, Oyve Kechavim, Neikha, the Shari Lahar boys. Once the Nachri is doing it, you can add on. Ah, but then he backs out. Vishemo. Come on. Davka the Tarech Milo Hu the Shari. Milo is a really important mitzvah. Then it's permitted. About what Tarech the Varacher, Afil Ayude, Oyve Kechavim, Asa Lahar boys. Then you can't add in quantity to what the Nachri is doing. Maybe it's only the Tarech Milo. So we have 2 days in Tosfos and Gittin. When a Nachri is doing a malacha anyway on Shabbos, maybe on behalf of himself, maybe on behalf of a chayla, like the mother, can I ask him to add quantity on my behalf? There's 2 opinions in Tosfos, whether or not it's permitted. Yeah, what do you want to say?
What's the purpose of the hot water?
To antiseptic.
So that
to wash it off the baby, to prevent infection.
Right, so that would be a case of
Shabbos. Unless we're talking about before the mila. So we need the water not for pikuach nefesh for the baby yet.
Right, because I was going to say
we need it for the to do the bris milah. So it's b'makom mitzvah.
I was going to say that,
but you can't violate Shabbos for that.
Why would we mention the mother being a chola if it would be a case of?
Yeah, after it must be after, must be before, must be before. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why don't we always ask the nachri because it's terabon and all these?
Always a good idea.
I'm saying instead of, let's say, just like, I don't know, instead of turning the fire on, just having to do
always. You have staff in your house always that you can ask enough to do things for you?
No, unfortunately we don't.
Right, so who are you going to ask?
Next door.
If you live in a Burr Park, I don't know who you have to, we might have to walk a few blocks, yeah. And the Nachri is not always keen on coming over and doing whatever you ask him to do, right? People have their own lives. How do we paskin on this issue? Rabbi said this is Noigea. We talked about this a little while ago. It's machlekes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham. Says the Shulchan Aruch, "Mereish Mem Zayin Sif Eino Chashabes. Eino Yehudi Yehalak Meyatzma. You have an Eino Yehudi who's going by himself. He's going independently somewhere. The Yisrael Noisim Leigeres. The Jew gives him a letter. Mutter Bechol Gavni. Can a Jew give him a letter? You know, you're going anyway. Here, take an extra letter on my behalf. Shulchan Aruch says, "Yeah, that's okay." He asks the Magen Avraham, "It's Arachiyin." He's carrying a whole bag of letters anyway. It doesn't matter. Now he's carrying more. So Magen Avraham is concerned with Ribui B'Shiurim when it comes to Miru Nachri. So what if the Nachri is traveling anyway for his own behalf? To ask him to carry an additional thing for you is a problem, because even by a Miru Nachri, what does the Malacha depend upon? What does the Easter depend upon? Asking a Nachri, you're not allowed to ask him to do Malacha for you. Unless you come to do it yourself, it's only us and the Rabbanan. That's true, and no Jew is doing malacha, but it depends how the Chazal define it based on how much was done. Now he's doing more, it's more Iser. According to the Shulchan Aruch, Amir Anachri is because I'm asking him to do the activity. He was doing the activity anyway, it's nothing to do with how much he carried. Well, so he said this is Nogea to asking Anachri to bring an express package for me on Shabbos when he's going anyway. I'm asking him to carry something throughout the Rishus HaRabim or Carmelis, but he's traveling anyway. So that's Ribui B'Shiurim when it comes to Amir Anachri's 2 opinions in Taisis and Machlekes in the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham. Or a person wants his newspaper delivered, aside from all the issues, you know, in terms of, how is Anachri allowed to print a newspaper? Not only is he carrying the newspaper, he's printing the newspaper. Well, the Nachri is going to press. No, Nachri is sitting there like the olden days where, you know, a printing press where he's every paper is going like this. He's going to press a button and then it'll go more. 1 extra newspaper on my behalf. Oh, but he's pressing 1 button and then it's going on its own. He's doing 1 malacha, but in greater quantity. That's Riva B'Shurim on Amir Nachri. He said, can I ask the Nachri to print a newspaper on behalf of the Jews on Shabbos when anyway he's printing newspapers? That's this machlekes. See, in the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham. What about Ribui B'Shiurim when it comes to Amir Anachri? A very, very contemporary issue. Seems like it's a big machlokes. So yesh ami lismach. I don't throw stones at people who order newspapers. I myself wouldn't do it. Okay. Tazvav mebeis. Let's go on. Mishnah. Hashoyke b'magal yad. What's a magal yad? Right now? Sickle. So that means one side is sharp, the other side is dull. Hashoyegam imago yad b'tzar. Tzar is a rock. B'kan is a reed. Shchitasuk sheri. Shchitas kasher. These things are sharp and flat. Hakol shechtin. Everyone can shecht. Ula oilam shechtin. U'bakol shechtin. You can shecht at night or during the day, especially if there's a torch there, as we mentioned. And you can shecht with anything. Chutz Mimago Kotzir, except for a, this is not a regular sickle, like a Grim Reaper type flat thing. This was something that was more, had a ridged, you know, had a serrated edge. Vahamigera, also some type of sickle. Vashinayim, or teeth. Vatziporin, or the nail. Vimnei Shehen Chaimkin, because they don't cut, they rip out the simanim. Okay, so it says the Gemara, Hashoyeke di evidin lechachil aloi. When can you shecht with the sickle b'di'evet? Because the Mishnah says, if you did it. It doesn't say you can do it. It doesn't say shechet. It says ha-shechet, if you did it. So he'll go, bishlam v'magal yad. I understand by the hand sickle, because there's another side. Dim also may have a be'idach kisa. You might do on the dull side, which is not sharp. El atzar v'kano l'chadchil aloi. Why the, but the rock or the reed, you can't shecht l'chadchil with these things, raminu. But we have another statement that contradicts this. B'chol shechtim bein tzar bein tzachukhiz. Whether it's a rock, whether it's glass, bein b'kronim shokana, or it's a reed, lo kasha. So you can check l'chachil with these things. Our Mishnah says it's only be the evet to check with a reed. This Mishnah says even l'chachil you can check with a reed, lo kasha. Kam b'tolosh, kam b'mechubar. Reeds grow in the ground. So we're talking about a reed that's still in the ground. Then you can't check with such a thing if it's mechubar. Here we're talking about what's tolosh, it's already detached, and you're using it as like a spear or a knife. Then you can shecht l'chadchil with it. Okay, so there's a difference between whether it's detached or whether it's attached to the ground. Damar of Kahana, Hashech, Ibn Mechuba l'karka, he shecht with something which is attached to the ground. Rabbi Paisav, Rabbi Chia Machshir. Rabbi says it's no good, Rabbi Chia says it is kosher. Ad kam l'kamash Rabbi Chia, Obediyevet, even Rabbi Chia only allowed Obediyevet l'chadchil aloi. Okay, so our Mishnah then will be following Rabbi Chia. Obediyevet, it's okay, l'chadchil aloi, you shouldn't do it. The other statement that we had, you can check with a reed, even l'chachil is talking about where it's detached from the ground. But Mayo Kimtik Rebbe Chia, you're saying our Mishnah is following Rebbe Chia, Udiyevet, and it's only Bidiyevet, or Hodesani, Bechol Shechtim, Bein Betolosh, Bein Mechover, Bein Shasak Lamala, Vitzaver Behema Lamata, Bein Shasak Lamata, Vitzaver Behema Lamala. But we have another brisa that says you can check with anything, even if it's, you know, attached to the ground, even the l'chachil. So Mani, who is that? Lo Rabbi, v'lo Rabbi Chia. That's not Rabbi. Rabbi says if it's mechubar l'karka, it's possible. Rabbi Chia says it's kosher, but according to you, he only says it's kosher b'di'evet. This statement says it's even kosher l'chadchila. Who is that following? He Rabbi Chia di'evet in l'chadchila lo. If it's following Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Chia says only b'di'evet. He Rabbi di'evet namelo. If it's Rabbi, even b'di'evet you can't do it. Li'olam says the Gemara Rabbi Chia v'afil l'chadchila. Rabbi Chia says l'chadchila you can shecht with mechubar l'karka. V'had the kama fligi b'di'evet. Why are they arguing then about a b'di'evet? The idea of the Rebbe. It's only coming to teach you that Rebbe even says b'di'evet, it's no good. Meaning it's a machlekes men akotza la kotza. Rebbe Chia says the chachilu you can check with mechubar l'karka. Rebbe says even b'di'evet, it's no good. We never rarely have such a thing, but they're arguing from one extreme to the other extreme. Thou must sneeze in the katani hashaykh di'evet in l'chachilu. Well, but then 1 minute our mission is following nobody. According to Rebbe Chia, you can check with chachilu. According to the Rebbe, you can't even check with b'di'evet. Mani, lo Rabbi, lo Rabbi Chia. I Rabbi Chia afil chadchila. If it's Rabbi Chia, they shouldn't even say it's mutu lechadchila. Rabbi b'di'evet namiloi. Point to Rabbi even b'di'evet he can't shech. Li'olam Rabbi Chia, li'olam it's Rabbi Chia. Vafil chadchila. And our Mishnah even believes the chadchila you can shech with something that's attached to the ground. The Masdiz is the katani hashoychet. The Mishnah which says hashoychet. If you did it, it's only kosher b'di'evet, but not chadchila. Rabbi, one minute. You just said Rabbi holds b'di'evet. It's no good. So kasha the Rebbe ad the Rebbe. One second. So then we don't know whether we're coming or going with Rebbe. Loi kasha. No, it's not a kasha. Because one statement Rebbe says it's possible with the evet. Now we're saying our Mishnah holds it's kasha with the evet, but not with chadchila. Go kasha. Kam b'mechuba me'ikara, kam b'talush u'b'soif chibra. One is talking about where it's still the original attachment to the ground. That's possible with the evet. Then the other, our Mishnah is talking about where it's detached from the ground, but then I stuck it back in the ground. So then Rebbe holds it's kasha l'chadchila because it's once detached from the ground, but it's only possible, but it's not kasha b'di, it's not kasha l'chadchila, but it is kasha b'di evet. Uminat tamra, how do you know there's a difference between these two cases? Maybe attached to the ground is attached to the ground. Who's to say it's the original attachment versus it was detached and you reattached it? Uminat tamra, the shining on bein machubar mei karo l'talosh u'b'soif chibra. How do you know there's a difference between if it was detached once and then you reattached it or if it's, still attached from the first time? Desanya, because we have a brayza shoychet b'muchni. If you shecht with a machine, shkitas k'shera. Shkitas kasha b'mechubar l'karka. Shkitas k'shera. If it's attached to the ground, it's kasha. No, it's sakim b'koyz. If a shokad ba, shkitas k'shera. If you stick something into, you take a knife and you stick it into the wall, then it's kasha. Hatzor yaitzim in a koyz. O kana oyle me'elav. But if you have a rock that's, you know, wasn't detached, it's sticking out of the wall, or you have a kana that's coming out of the ground, then your shkita is pasul. So kashan adadi, isn't this an internal stira? You said if it's attached to the wall, it's kosher. But you said if it's coming out of the ground, it's pasul. You see, from here, there's a difference between if it was attached to the original attachment, like a reed that's attached to the ground, the rock that's coming out of the ground, that's possible with the Evan, versus if you took a knife and stuck it into the wall, now it's attached to the wall, but it was originally detached, now I just put it in, then that's kosher with the Evan. Shema Amino, you see that there's a difference between these two cases. Let's just finish the discussion. We talked about the machines already. So let's just skip down. Yasif Rav Achare de Rebbe Chiyo. We talked about them, right? We talked about the machines. We talked about shechting with the machine and the foot pedal versus the water. And so Yasif Rav Achare de Rebbe Chiyo. You see me? Maybe 10 lines down in the Gemara. Let's just finish the discussion about shechting with things attached to the ground. So Yasif Rav Achare de Rebbe Chiyo. Rebbe Chiyo Kameh de Rebbe. The Yasif Rav Achare de Rebbe Chiyo. I didn't know something that you're shechting with has to be detached to the ground. Shenemar. Where is that? Anyone know? Where's the context? He took a knife to shecht his son. What was that? Good guess. You know, the giveaway is the two words. Es benoy. He's shechting his son. So he took a knife to shecht the son. You see that he took a knife. What did he end up shechting, though?
A ram.
So that really, that shechita was really talking about kachim. And even Yitzchak was going to be a carbon to Hashem. So Taisa says, how can we derive anything from here? We're talking about kachin. What does it have to do with shecht and chulin? Okay, you see that they're really the same. Taisa says, must be we can derive one from the other, at least with regards to this. This is one of these phrases. You got to be there to get the joke, right? The vav, it's like a vav written on a stick, which has holes in it that you can't really see everything clearly because it's written on a stick. Like if you try and engrave something on like a jagged wall, it's hard to read it. So that's what he meant to say to him. Your answers mean nothing because it's like written on a jagged wall and we can't understand what you're saying. So, vav dechsiva uftakama, you're saying stuff that's gibberish. Vaha kra kamar, kra zirusa davram, kamash malon. I might have said the whole pasuk is only talking about the fact that Avraham Avinu was excited to go do shkita because he wanted to fulfill the word of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but you really don't have to detach a knife from the ground. Avraham Avinu was excited, so he took something in order to shecht the son, but maybe you could have shechted with something that was attached to the ground. You didn't have to pick something up separate. So Rebbe Chiya would be doicha and say that this pasuk is just describing the excitement of Avraham Avinu to fulfill the mitzvah of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We don't see from here that he had to shecht with something that's detached from the ground, but Rebbe derived from here that you can only shecht with things that are detached from the ground. And that's how we pass like Rebbe. You can't shecht with things that are attached to the ground. But even according to Rebbe, there might be a difference between mechubar meikaro versus talush lebesof chibro versus something that was detached and then you reattached it. Okay, chaver, that's what emerges. Can you shecht with something attached to the ground? No. What if it was detached and you reattached it? Maybe yes. Okay, so look over here though in the Shulchan Aruch. Problem. Shulchan Aruch says the following: Hashake bedavar amechuba lekarka o leguf. You want to shecht with something that's attached to the ground, kigon tziporin or to a body, kigon tziporin v'shein hamechubar bebehema. You want to shecht with a tooth or a nail of an animal. Shkitas apsula. That's no good. That's no good. Why? It's mechubar. Answer b'kiva eger. Basic question. We have a notion that people or avadim are hukshu the karkos. They're considered to be real estate. Look over here in the Gemara Megillah of Gimel Meralef. Eved iskish the karkos, and eved is considered like real estate. Dechsiv is nachal temo somu b'neichem acharechem l'reshus achuza, because they go b'yerusha from father to son like an estate. So if an eved goes b'yerusha from father to son like an estate, don't you see? He's treated like real estate. So sometimes you can have an eved, human being, sometimes adam hukshu the karkos. They have the status of real estate. Are behema, is an animal ever real estate? No, animals have their own kinyanim. They're treated entirely different. Animals are never real estate. People could sometimes be real estate in terms of the way that they're acquired and how they're treated in halacha. Not animals. Animals are never real estate. So, and all of the halachas have to do with karka versus movables, versus commodities versus real estate. Animals are never real estate. So Frechter B'Kiva Eger looked back on his comments on the Shulchan Aruch. Tamu Ali Dilama Lamada Halal Shach Leikar. That was the Shach derives in Choshen Mishrit Simin Sadi. Hey, the Adam is Kishul Karka. Sometimes people are considered as real estate in terms of how they're acquired and how they're treated in Halacha versus Yerusha and other Halachas. After Bebe, can I exceed me? Komakum Yafinim Yina Adam. Okay, sometimes people are treated as real estate, even B'nai Chorin. Look back, the Shulchan Aruch said, even if you shecht with the arm of an animal, which has a nail or a tooth attached to it, that's called mechubar lekarka. That's called attached to the ground. Why is that called attached? Hamasiza katani rakva tziporin. The Mishnah only said a nail. Maybe it means a human nail, because human beings are considered as real estate. That's like karka. That's like shechting with something attached to the ground. What does it have to do with animals? How could the Shulchan Aruch say if you shecht with a chopped off arm of an animal that has a nail attached to it, right? Some vintage knife or something like that, you know, some Indian knife. How can you call that mechubar? It's not considered to be real estate. Hamasiz katani rak vatzi porin mafarish mi gemar mishum mechubar. The Gemara says you can't shecht with a nail because it's considered to be attached. But dilma mar bitzi porin das shochet atzma. Maybe it means shechting with the nail of the shochet himself. You know, mila in high mishum places. They used to perform milo with their nail. Chassidus Shemayelim used to have their nails shaped like a triangle because they would shecht, they would do milo with their nail. Yum. And that's sterile. Yep. Oh. So maybe that's what they're talking about. You're shechting with your nail. Or she'eches b'yad adam acher. But, or maybe he's shechting with you know, someone else's nail. Why should the nail of an animal considered to be mechubar? Well, how is this attached? It's not attached to the ground. The animals are never considered to be mechubar lekarka. Chevi, you hear the kasha? Animals never real estate. It's never considered to be attached to the ground. People, animal, you know, avodim, sometimes attached to the ground. They're real, considered real estate. So the sheft with your nail, that's mechubar lekarka. And you can't sheft with a mechubar lekarka. But what is the nail of an animal? How is that considered to be mechubar? So Chevi, see tomorrow, the Teferis Yaakov, that's Yaakov Gesundheit. Rav Yaakov Gesundheit. We have a grandson of Rav Yaakov Gesundheit down in our shul. He's the one who paid for this farm to be printed. So Rav Yaakov Gesundheit in his commentary on Masechet Chulin over here has a Yisoides de Geteretz, which is Soloveitchik has the same teretz in his shiurim. And we'll have to see that this distinction, the distinction that he makes, is really a very kloliistic, a very Yisoidistic, a fundamental distinction, applies in many, many areas of halacha. Was one of the things of Soloveitchik, according to the name of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. A whole sheer clearly. All right, so we'll have to get to that. We have to jump tomorrow. I'm a shkoyach for accommodating the schedule. I appreciate it.